To see everyone gathered here at the Lord's house this morning. You visiting, we welcome you here. We pray that we say something that might want you want to come back. As I think the thoughts I have today come from a few things that happened during the week. I had a few friends of my wife that they were concerned. They were having a witchcraft convention in New Orleans. Hold on. Technical difficulties. Oh, there it goes. Oh. Y'all hear me now? That's good. Must not have been connected good. Anyway, that's all right. Y'all bear with us. This is all new to us Primitive Baptists. We're not used to all this technology now. But anyway, where were we? they were having a witchcraft convention in New Orleans. And they seemed greatly concerned about that. They were worried about that. And a few of them made the comment, says, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, I got to thinking about that verse. You know, I said, I don't know if that's applied correctly there. I don't know if it is or not, but that got me thinking about that verse. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, we'll find that Jesus is hanging on the cross. In his pain, in his suffering, he prays to the Father. Verse 34 says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They know not what they do. Who was this prayer addressed on behalf of the Father of? Consider who was gathered here at Calvary. We know that Jesus' acquaintances were there. We know that the Marys were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, her sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene. We know John was there. Because he looked at John while he was hanging across and said, "Behold thy mother." And we know that John took Mary unto his house the rest of her life. We know that there was a multitude gathered there. There were people that came out to behold the spectacle of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. We know there were soldiers, Roman soldiers there gathered that mocked and broke our dear precious Savior's body. Put a spear in his side. We know that the scribes and the elders of the Jews that condemned him were there, that derided him, and told him, "If thou be the Son of God, bring yourself down." He said he could save others, but he couldn't save himself. Now, it doesn't make sense to me that he would offer this prayer on behalf of Mary and those brethren that were gathered there that were lamenting and sorrowful. That they were doing this to their brother and their Savior and their Father. It makes sense to me that he would have offered this prayer on behalf of those that were doing it to him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What was being done there? They were crucifying the very Son of God. You mean Brother Joe, Lord Jesus Christ, while he was hanging on the cross, would pray for those that were making him suffer? Yeah, I say he would. Not only would I say he would, he said we should. We'll turn with me to Matthew and we'll look at chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. We find some precious words of Jesus Christ. He says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute." You understand we had a Savior that walked what He taught. He fulfilled everything perfectly. What an example He's left us. Brethren, if we're going to preach it, we better be doing it. We better be putting it into action. Because that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. I say yes, sir. When He was hanging on the cross and He made this prayer, He was praying for the very ones that suffered Him, His enemies. He made that prayer for them. Now, in the broader spectrum of things, let's think about broad. Who is the object of the Lord Jesus Christ's prayers? Who does He pray for? Who does He pray for? We will turn into John, chapter 17. In verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. He doesn't pray for the world. He prays for them that the Lord gave him out of the world. Now, this particular verse is referring to His apostles and the disciples that the Lord has given Him here. But on down in verse 20, it says also, neither pray I for these alone, not just those, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. The object of the Lord Jesus Christ's prayers are the very elect of God. The one, not the world. It says, I pray not for the world, but for them that the Lord, that the God the Father have given Him out of the world. Well, Brother Joe, what you saying? Was he praying for his enemies or is he praying for the elect? Both. That prayer in Luke 23 and 43 was for both. I tell you, there were those there complicit. Those Jews, there were the Jews there complicit in the spectacle and the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that were the very elect of God. Well, how can that be, Brother Joe? You telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and while these were yet enemies, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for them? Yes, sir. While we were yet enemies. Don't take my word for it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Now let's understand some things first. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I want you to understand the unregenerate child of God, that child of God that's still in the flesh that hasn't been born again of a spirit, I want you to know that's enmity to God. Yes, sir, that's enemy to God. Some of these brethren over here were, I believe, were elect children of God, unregenerate, not born again. And it's hard to tell the difference between the unregenerate and the ungodly. Because they both do in sin. They're both in sin. They both acting in sin. Brother Joe, while we were still in sin, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ prayed for us. I want you to know, while you were still in sin, while you were still dead in your trespass and sin, while you were still enemies of God, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. That's when He died for you. While you were yet in sin, while you were yet enemies to the commonwealth of God, that's when Jesus Christ, what a wonderful Savior we serve. Do you understand the love that He showed us? While we were yet enemies. Again, don't take my word for it. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, it says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I got some good news for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, He died for you while you yet sins, while you yet enemies. But because He died through His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Yes, He saved us. He saved us from our sins, forgave us of our sins, and saved us from the wrath to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Isn't that good news? By His death, we have been reconciled to God. I want you to know something this morning. We didn't reconcile God to ourselves. He reconciled us to Him through the precious blood of His Lord, of His Son, of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, not much more by His death. It says, much more being reconciled, shall be saved by His life. You understand, we serve a living Savior. He didn't die on the cross. He's alive. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession. We still need saving while we live here. I want you to know every day we stand in need of forgiveness. We still sin. We still do wrong. And if you're a father, if you're a son, I want you to know when we do wrong, we're going to be chastised. And we need forgiveness for that. We need saving grace while we live. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that these gathered around, that the very ones that were crucified were going to be in need of that too. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, yeah, there were some buried there that were the children of God that were complicit in the crucifixion of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You understand what guilt and what a burden that must have been when God the Father, when the Holy Spirit came and regenerated them, and they knew that they had been complicit in that. Oh, they were going to need some forgiveness. They were going to need some comfort. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for them. Said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And not only that, you know, other place over in John, it says the Father prayed. He told His disciples, if I go away, I'll send you a comforter. He said, I will pray the Father that He will send you another comforter. The verses later, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. While He hung on the cross, He prayed for those that were complicit in His crucifixion. Yet while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, we were made nigh to through the blood of Jesus Christ. That seems to be the case and backed up by Acts. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Now understand, over in chapter 2, that comfort that Jesus Christ came, the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost had happened in chapter 2. The Holy Ghost is on the scene. Now keep in mind that I'm trying to explain to you that there were those there that they were very elect of God. I want to back that up. I don't want to make that claim without substantiating it. The very elect of God. There were very elect of God there that were complicit in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who that prayer was dedicated to. That's who that was prayer was made on behalf of. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says, and the Jews here were wondering who by what power Peter and these brethren made the lame man to walk. In verse 13, Peter says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom He delivered up, and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted to you. I tell you, He's addressing the very ones. The very ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's here preaching to. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers have glorified His Son Jesus, whom He delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But He denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. What was the prayer Lord Jesus Christ did? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That implies there was some ignorance. They didn't know what they were doing. At the very least, they were just ignorant of the implications of what they were doing. It says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. I want you to know everything that the Lord Jesus Christ went through on the cross of Calvary was to fulfill the law and the prophets. He fulfilled every jot and tittle. And that was necessary. But now Peter's telling us, it's like, I know you did it out of ignorance. But now he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. I want you to understand they were in need of some forgiveness. Peter's telling them here, repent. I want you to understand some other things too about these brethren. There's a judgment coming upon Jerusalem. There's a judgment that's about to come on Jerusalem. And Peter's admonishing them to repent, that you might be saved from this wrath in this life, forgiven of these sins, that you might be saved in this life. Yeah, he prayed for them while he hung on the cross. Peter's preaching to the very ones that did it right here. You remember what I said, who he prays to? He prays to not only those, but also those that will believe on me by their word. If you flip over to chapter 4 and verse 4 of these brethren, chapter 4 of verse 4, it says, howbeit many of these that Peter preached to, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. There's some here that believed through the word of Peter. You want me to tell you something about those that believe? We need to understand something about how they come to believe and those that believe. In John chapter 1, verse 11. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. There are plenty of these Jews that didn't receive him. That was by prophecy. Knew he would come unto his own, and own received him not. As he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you understand, it says these brethren, these ones that was Peter was preaching to, the ones that was complicit in the crucifixion and death, it says they believed. And if you believe, brethren, it says as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. These were the sons of God. Unregenerate, ignorant, but they were the sons of God. And Jesus Christ knew them, for he knows them that are his. He knew them. He knows them. And while he hung on the cross, he prayed for them. Because he knew what they were doing, even though they didn't know what they were doing. But moreover, brethren, which were born. How were they born? How did they come? Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. They didn't just up and decide on their own that they were going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know God's grace and mercy was shed down on them through the washing of regeneration and through the new birth of His Spirit and the shedding of the Holy Spirit on them. Nor of the will of man, but of God. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed are you this morning. But I want you to know it's because the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. He purchased you by His precious blood. It wasn't of your own will. It wasn't on your own works of righteousness, but on the precious blood. And we have a Savior that prayed for us and died for us while we were yet sinners. We could have all been those there that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That could have easily been either one of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ in that preaches us to pray for our enemies. You understand why it's so important to pray for your enemies? The Lord Jesus Christ knew who the ungodly and who the unregenerate were. He knows His people. He knew who to pray for. You know, me and you, we can't tell the difference in the unregenerate and the ungodly. So when we pray for our enemies, it becomes twofold. Pray for our enemies, the evil. Lord Jesus Christ prayed that not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we'd be kept from the evil. We could pray to the Lord God, the Father, that the evil, that He would stay the evil hand, that He would keep our enemies from us, that He would build a hedge of protection around us. But then also when you pray for your enemy that's despitefully used you, understand this, it might be just an unregenerate child of God. And we need to pray for our brothers that are still in darkness, our brothers and sisters that are still in darkness, that God would shed His light on them, that He would call them from darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light. So we pray for our enemies. Do you understand the importance in that? Do you understand the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ showed on the cross of Calvary when He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I thank you for your good order and attention.